Hello and welcome to episode 28 of the Tag Teamers podcast. Per usual on Tuesday, going over everything from Monday Night Raw the night before. Let's kick it off with the opening segment. Rhea comes out to address Dom essentially leaving her for Liv Morgan. Was this a satisfying segment for you, finally getting to see Damian Priest get his hands on Dom after the incident? And I don't think we actually saw Rhea get her hands on Liv, but she was chasing after her throughout the arena. So what did you think of the segment?
Yeah, I thought it was good. I think one issue that we're going to have with the direction they're going is Dom and Liv are both a little too afraid of, you know, the opposing team. So when the match actually comes, it's going to be interesting because they both have that, you know, scaredy cat dynamic, I guess, where they're running away. But in terms of just the segment, yeah, I thought it accomplished what it needed to with the Priest aspect. I don't really think this is a great performance by Rhea, to be honest, on the mic, though.
Yeah, I didn't necessarily either. I mean, she had a little jab about Dom being bad in bed, and, you know, that was funny and all. Her Triple H callback, you know, with the, in case you forgot who the hell I am. That didn't really, her delivery of that wasn't especially great. That was a little soft. She was just, I don't know. Didn't quite work, but I thought Priest showing up behind Dom was the best part of the segment. That made me laugh. And, you know, it's just finally we got some physicality out of it. So,
yeah, which is good. I wish that the rest of the Judgment Day was maybe, you know, smart enough to back these guys up. You know, like Finn's kind of just been on the back burner since the turn. It's kind of more, you know, just backstage stuff with him. And, you know, Priest's obviously going to be wrestling in the mixed tag match at Bash in Berlin, you know, but it seems like his sights are set on Dom rather than Finn.
Yeah, Carlito was the only one willing to come out and make the save to begin with.
Yeah. Like, what are the other members up to? What's JD up to? What's Finn up to, you know?
Yeah, like what else do they have to do?
Yeah, right. And Carlito, speaking of him, he had the worst gear of the night. I don't know what the hell he was wearing. He had different color boots on. He had goofy shorts. He was all bandaged up on his shoulder. He looked like a disaster.
I mean, he is a disaster, but that's why we like him. So, yeah, poor Carlito and poor JD, man. Finn doesn't get the brunt of anything. Liv escapes every time. Dom finally took a little bit of a beating, but yeah, Finn and Liv just, you know, they never have to worry about anything happening to them.
No, luckily for them. I mean, honestly, why do you think Finn and JD weren't a part of this?
I mean, I don't think there's like an answer that makes sense other than it's just the WWE writing it however they want to make it work and hoping we don't notice the parts of it that don't make a whole lot of sense.
Right. Yeah, because, I mean, it would just make all the sense. Obviously, they're a gang, essentially, and then now they're not traveling together like that, you know. But, I mean, we're getting the mixed tag match, as mentioned, but, I mean, I was really hoping to see Finn in Priest. I want that match after the turn. I kind of feel like the ball's dropped there.
Well, first, I'd just like to say, I mean, just think about, like, movies and stuff. There are so many, even the greatest movies ever made, you can just nitpick so many parts of them and be like, well, why didn't this character just do this? It would have solved the whole thing, you know. So there's always, I feel like the writers always have to take liberty in doing things that don't make perfect sense just to make the story move along and work. Like, it's impossible to make everything perfect. You're saying you wanted Priest and Finn in the near future before this? Because honestly, I'm more excited for this mixed tag match than I think I would be for Finn Priest.
Really? Yeah, I mean, I just think Priest is going to end up beating Dom around the whole time, you know. But at least with Finn wrestling Priest, there's some believability in Finn beating him, whereas I don't really see that being a thing with Dom. I think Dom's just going to be bumping around the whole match, which is fine, but I don't, it just kind of seemed like to me with the turn at SummerSlam that that was going to be the story.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it still will be, but I think, like I said last podcast, from after Raw, like, you know, we're headed that way, but we can have some fun in the meantime on the way there.
Yeah. Yeah, which I'm okay with. I mean, it keeps the title on Liv just a little longer, too. You know, obviously she's not defending then. So it makes sense there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm hoping in that match is where we get to see Rhea get her hands on Dom. You know, like if she could put him through the announce table or something like that, I think that'd be a good moment.
Yeah, and we got it last night. She didn't finish off the move, but
right.
Yeah, and we have a new name for Rhea and Priest. What was it? The Terror Twins?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. What do you think of that name?
It makes sense, I guess, you know, if that's kind of what they want to do. I saw Rhea had the TT written on her eye, or right below her eye. She used to have, like, R plus D, or, you know, Dom, or something like that. So, obviously, now she's replaced that. I'm fine with the name.
Yeah, it's okay. And the fact that they're being called the Twins, that rules out any romantic aspect of their partnership, I would say.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, been seeing some speculation on that on Twitter the last week or so, but yeah, now that we have that name, I think we can pretty much rule that out.
Yeah, and I mean, I do kind of get like the big brother, like that's kind of how Priest fits, I think, anyways, with Rhea.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything else on that segment for you?
No, not really.
Yeah, me either. I mean, the brawl was all right, but the, you know, not a whole lot happened.
Yeah, it was good. Solid B+.
Yeah, I agree. What do you want to talk next?
Gunther Orton, Punk Drew.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we'll talk Gunther's promo. You had made note of it last week where Orton says something along the lines of like, I'm gonna beat you, this, that, and the other thing, and then Gunther says, you're right. Well, he said the same thing again last night. He made the same mistake. You know, when Orton says something to the effect of, once I beat you, you're gonna go to SmackDown. And then Gunther said, the first things out of his mouth is, you're right.
Yeah, it seems like Gunther can't say anything unless, like, every single thing he says comes across as a compliment at first. It's like he's complimenting them, and then he switches to make it an insult. That's like every single thing he says is like that. So I don't know if it's just like programmed into his brain to be like, yes, you're right. But blah, blah, blah. Yes, you're correct, but blah, blah, blah. And he also, I mean, Gunther, the last 2 weeks, he's just been straight up stupid. Like, last night, he said Orton didn't live up to his potential.
Right.
It's like, that's like saying LeBron, like, wow, LeBron, you really didn't live up to your potential. Like, it's, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. At some point, you can't just say whatever you want. It does have to actually make a little bit of sense.
Yeah, I mean, Orton's a 14-time world champion, main-evented multiple WrestleManias, won multiple Royal Rumbles. I don't know what Gunther's looking for his potential.
Yeah, Gunther is an intercontinental champion and a one-time world champion at the age that Orton had already won, like, 10 world championships by.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it might even be more than that because I think Gunther's sitting around like 36 right now. I mean, Orton won the world title for the first time when he was 24. You know, right. Like I don't know what Gunther was doing at 24.
Like when Orton the first thing he comes out and talks about is about how 20 years ago he won his first world title as the youngest in WWE history. And then, you know, Gunther shows up and the first thing out of his mouth is how he wasted his potential. Just doesn't, you know, it just doesn't really add up.
Yeah, and honestly, I also think it's just kind of weird too, is like Gunther obviously hasn't even accomplished anything even close to what Orton has accomplished. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like he's a multi-time WrestleMania main eventer himself or multi-time world champion. You know, he's held the world title for 2 weeks now. Like, I just don't really think he's even in a position to criticize somebody else's potential.
Yeah, I feel like this type of gimmick is, it's like 5 years too early for him. You know, if he was six-time world champ and had won a WrestleMania main event and this and that, it makes sense for you to act high and mighty, but he, you know, it's not really built on anything real. It's just delusion.
Yeah, right. And it's just not going to work against somebody as accomplished as Orton anyways. Like, that's not the kind of guy that you say wasted potential. Which, honestly, man, this is one reason why I didn't want Gunther to win the world title. I didn't think he was ready. And, I mean, look at Priest. Obviously, he's fully gone face. The crowd's behind him. I think that's the best story going, and I think the world title should have stayed put, honestly.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree. We both wanted that going into SummerSlam.
Yeah, and Gunther's not making a good showing so far. You know, like the segments with Priest, I don't think he was doing great on the mic, and then so far with Orton, I don't think he's doing great on the mic. Listen, he can have the best match of the night, sure, but at some point, you got to be able to cut the promos.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's really had a, I don't, he hasn't had a good showing since he's returned. Yeah. Honestly, I mean, the SummerSlam match was a good match, but on Raw, he hasn't had a single good performance. You know, the first week he came back, that segment with Priest was kind of a dud. The second week he gets somewhat of a pass just because they have the big brawl, and then it's SummerSlam, and yeah, these last 2 weeks we just spent like the last 6 minutes talking about it, how just both promos he cut were stupid.
Yeah, right. And this is concerning for the future, because I'm worried he's going to have a long title reign, and I mean, I don't want to see 6 months of the world champ cutting promos like this, that's for sure.
Yeah. And then to make matters worse, you know, I mean, it makes him look worse. He's talking about how, you know, predictable Randy Orton is and this and that. And then he ultimately, he does get hit with the RKO. So.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's like the Solo of Raw right now. I mean, I take that back, because he's a lot better than Solo. But in kind of the same vein, you know, he's a little bit, it's getting pushed a little bit too much compared to how ready he is. Like, I mean, Solo is just totally pathetic, but Gunther not doing a great job right now.
Yeah, Gunther at least puts on good matches, where Solo's not even doing that. But, yeah, I mean, these mic battles are not it for Gunther. And I think that's one reason why, I mean, Ludwig Kaiser used to be his mouthpiece for a while. They moved away from that within the last few months and put Kaiser on his own, but maybe it's time to reunite them, because Kaiser's great on the mic, and I don't think Gunther's hitting on it. So, yeah, maybe it's something to think about.
The thing is, though, I don't feel like he's bad on the mic, because I think how he says things is good. It's just the actual content of what he's saying is stupid.
Yeah, right.
Like, that just needs to be fixed. But his presence and his delivery and his tone and, you know, the accent and everything, it's all good. It's just the actual words coming out of his mouth are what you know, just nuke the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the accent does add a lot of flair as being a heel, you know? Like, it's easy to talk down and things like that. But if what you're saying doesn't make sense logically, eventually people are going to see through it either way.
Right.
I mean, well, I think the interesting part about the segment too is we kind of overlap with Drew and Punk as Drew comes out. He doesn't get a word out, but we'd seen when he was talking to Pierce. I kind of like that he was, you know, basically talking down about Orton getting the title shot, because this was what I was saying last week was the King of the Ring finals was 3 months ago. Orton had no issue then the whole time until now with getting the world title shot. So, I mean, good on Drew for being smart enough to criticize where criticism belongs.
Right. Do you think, like, are Punk and Drew going to be connected to Orton and Gunther at all, really? Or do you think this is just more of a one-time thing, like that it was convenient to mesh the four of them together?
Yeah, I think it just worked right now. Unless the blow-off match ends up being number one contenders match for the world title or something. But I think that's still, you know, a few months down the road. But, yeah, I don't really expect much going on. I think that's just Drew being the character he is, you know, being logical. Because he's kind of like, in terms of being based in reality, he's kind of like the number one guy on the roster right now. So I think, like, him criticizing Orton getting the title shot and the way that they went about it, I think just made sense for his character right now.
Did it do anything for you, Punk talking about the bracelet, saying it's not necessarily about the bracelet, but what's on it? I thought it didn't really make sense either. I'm saying a lot of stuff doesn't make sense right now, but I feel like that's been the whole first 15 minutes of this. But I thought what he said about the bracelet was dumb too.
Yeah, I mean, you could put the meaning on it, that your wife's name's on it, the dog's name's on it. Again, I don't care. It's just a fan-made bracelet that was given to you. I really don't care whose name's on it, what's on it, especially for living humans, living animals. It's just not going to click with me ever, honestly. You know, like, we're talking about a simple bracelet that was made like in an arts and craft, you know, class. This isn't, there's no real value on it. It doesn't even look good. It's just, I could really do without this bracelet.
Yeah. Why couldn't they? I mean, you know, how hard would it be to come up with just something that was a little bit more meaningful, even if they're making it up? I don't know what it would be, you know, but
well, to be honest,
I mean, at first I was like a wedding ring, but that wouldn't be great either. But, you know, just something that's not, it's just a random bracelet.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't even need it anyways, I don't think. I mean, the feud initially gets kicked off because Drew injures Punk in the Royal Rumble. So he misses WrestleMania, misses his potential WrestleMania moment. And then Punk starts costing Drew the world championship. You know, he did it at Mania. He did it following at Clash at the Castle. Like, this feud didn't even need the bracelet. It already had a bunch of substance to it with costing each other moments and title matches and everything else that follows.
Yeah, I mean, you could just have them continuously screwing each other over. It's, you know, it doesn't have to be super complicated. And people will say, oh, the bracelet makes it personal or whatever, but it's already personal just due to the fact that CM Punk got hurt, and then to get back at Drew for that, he started just going out of his way to screw him over in matches. That's already personal.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's enough. That's a good story in itself. You caught Punk 6 months of his career at this age, you know, and after being gone for 10 years, and that makes enough sense to me. Instead, this bracelet is just, it's too much. It's almost like Lord of the Rings, when they're going after the rings, that's what this bracelet's kind of remind me of, is like, that's how much value is being put on it. Is this the most valuable thing in the world? They'd rather have this than the world championship at this point.
Yeah.
I hope they get away from it. I would imagine Punk's going to win the next match, and then hopefully that's it. You know, as I mentioned before, hopefully when he gets it back, he just leaves it at home. And that's that.
Yeah.
I would imagine we're probably going to get some sort of strap match, as, you know, Punk you know, he whipped him quite a few times with that belt.
Yep. Nice little lasso imitation for Austin, Texas, too.
Yep. Yeah.
Anything else about that? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I'm okay with this being a strap match. I feel like that's a natural progression of the story, you know, adding that stipulation as we're building towards the Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are we? Bronson Reed versus The Miz.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. So, I'll do it. All right. You want to talk about Bronson Reed and The Miz? R-Truth mistakenly puts The Miz up against Bronson Reed, thinking it was Bron Breakker. Miz clearly not happy about that, but R-Truth makes it up to him at least by, you know, getting him out of harm's way and then taking basically all the damage afterward.
Yeah. Last week we kind of disagreed on Bronson Reed's tsunamis on Seth Rollins, but I think this showed that it was a star maker performance as the crowd was chanting one more on R-Truth. They wanted to keep seeing R-Truth getting tsunamis hit on him, and R-Truth's national treasure, you know, and they still wanted to see more. I think they're building Bronson Reed the right way. And I'm glad to see it. The Miz, this is a great role for The Miz. You know, when he can elevate these young guys and just get beat up on, it's perfect for him. And it really does do a lot, because a lot of guys can lose matches and they're not actually getting the other guy over. But Miz is one of those guys that when he loses, he actually is elevating the guy beating him.
Yeah. And I have to take back what I said last week, because I'm in on Bronson Reed. I'm in on Bronson Reed for sure. Who did I say after the SmackDown pod that I wanted him to face? Or who did I think he would take the title off of? Oh, Bron Breakker.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I want to see him get a title here soon.
Yeah, no, I do too. I'm just a little concerned with how long Bron Breakker might hold the Intercontinental Championship, but yeah, Bronson Reed's the one to take it from him. I have no issues with that.
Yeah. I don't mean right away, because that wouldn't be a good look for Bron. But yeah, I want to see Bronson Reed win a belt here within the next, say, 6 months.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I do too. I mean, this is a guy that easily should be a mid-card champion, easily should be contending for world championships. I think he's got all the tools.
Yeah, me too. Perfect, just big guy archetype. It's funny to watch him walk around and basically do everything, but at the same time, he's a good heel.
Yeah, right. What split do you think we get first? Miz and Truth, or on SmackDown, Grayson Waller and Austin Theory?
Waller and Theory. Because yeah, with Miz and Truth, we still haven't, I mean, we really seen any signs that it's coming.
I feel like just like even him booking him in the match with Bronson Reed, you know, is kind of moving in that direction.
Yeah, but I feel like he does stuff all the time where The Miz is just like, oh, you're an idiot. But yeah, also, like, R-Truth did just basically get killed last night. So, you know, maybe that is the sign.
Right. Yeah,
it's definitely possible. But I'll say Waller Theory.
Yeah, I agree. But I don't know. I mean, Miz, he's a guy that could snap at any time.
Right.
You want to move into the Uncle Howdy thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we get the Uncle Howdy tape. Not much. Honestly, not much at all.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't really have anything to say about it. I mean, typically, I don't know what the hell is going on in the VHS tapes in general, basically every time. So, I mean, with this just being a standalone, they weren't on the show or anything, it's like, all right, you know, another cryptic VHS tape, whatever. They don't really do much for me anyway, so I honestly don't really care. I feel like it's more just, I don't know, like if I were 6 years old, I'd be like, whoa. But as an adult, that Uncle Howdy's not doing a whole lot for me on the VHS tape. I'm kind of I'm pretty just sick of the, oh, let's have him say some weird stuff. Let's slap that that voice effect on him and, you know, put some graininess on the film and call it a day and just throw it out there. I don't know. It doesn't really do anything for me.
Yeah, I feel like they're trying to hide behind just edits because I don't really think they're saying anything of true substance in these VHS tapes lately, especially this one. I mean, I don't even know what they were trying to accomplish with this one. This one was kind of a waste, and I feel like we've seen Bo enough in those VHSs. Like, it would be better to show the other members, but, you know, they kind of have a little bit, but they're not really leaning into the other members. It's all about Bo, but like I said, I mean, you need to do something with these VHS because this wasn't it.
Yeah. And like I said, this is really the type of thing I think that, you know, it can just plummet really quickly and people would get sick and tired of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we might be heading in that direction now. I mean, I was kind of surprised that they didn't even make their presence felt in the Creed Brothers match against Tozawa and Otis. I was kind of expecting them to be there, especially since it was a tornado tag. I was kind of expecting to see them some way, somehow, but we didn't get that either.
Yeah. I mean, it's just they have like one move they can do. It's just the lights go out and it's the same thing every time. So I just don't know how long you can keep doing that.
Yeah, right. Because eventually the bell rings and, you know, you got to tell the story in the ring, in the matches. And, you know, the VHS, they could continue to drag this on for months and months and months, but I don't think it's going to do anything until we get it going in the ring. I mean, weeks ago we saw Bo and Adam Pearce's office. There wasn't really a true follow-up to that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, my attention was grabbed much more during even the New Day Final Testament segment than the VHS. The VHS was probably when I checked out the most throughout the entire show.
Yeah, I think that's understandable, honestly. I mean, the New Day, I think they got something going with Odyssey Jones. I think he, honestly, the last 2 weeks, he's been one of the top highlights of the night.
Yeah, they needed that. They needed that for sure because they've been stale for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, do you want to talk way too early ceiling, Odyssey Jones?
I mean, I think the ceiling is just a Mark Henry type. But I don't think, I mean, Mark Henry won a world title. That's not going to happen for Odyssey Jones, but just the same enforcer type. I think pretty much what we expect him to be doing right now in the future, like with the New Day, just that type of role, I think that's pretty much his ceiling.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure if I agree, just because he's got a lot of charisma. He's got a lot of energy back there. And he's obviously, I mean, he's insanely strong, as we see. I mean, we seen it last week when he lifted both members of the Authors of Pain. McPhee brought up the 800-pound deadlift. I think if he's got that kind of strength with that kind of charisma, I don't see why he couldn't be a world champion.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see it. He just doesn't look the part.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. But we'll see. I mean, we'll see where this New Day story brings us. Because, I mean, we've only seen him 2 weeks. So it is kind of crazy to say he's a future world champion. But so far, I don't see what would limit him.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think so. Maybe a mid-card title, but honestly, I don't even expect that.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, I think he can just continue to do his thing in this type of role that we're going to see him in.
Yeah, I think last thing is just the main event, Sami Zayn, Bron Breakker.
Yeah, I forgot that it was a 2 out of 3 falls match. So when Sammy pinned him the first time, I was like, what? And then, you know, obviously seconds later, I realized. But yeah, honestly, I don't, you know, there's not a whole, as long as the match was, and despite it being the main event, I don't know that there's a whole lot to take away from it. Bron Breakker, I mean, that's the end of Bron Breakker, Sami Zayn.
Hopefully.
And yeah, you would think. And I mean, Braun just continues to solidify his claim on his new title.
Yeah. The only thing I could have done without is Sammy getting that first pin. I mean, I would have just been completely fine with Braun winning 2-0 and that was it. I actually kind of don't like that Sammy did get the first pin. Anyway, I would rather if Braun got the first pin and then Sammy gets the second if Sammy's going to get a pin.
Yeah, I didn't like it either. I mean, I feel like Braun should have squashed Sammy in one of these matches, and he just didn't. And I don't think that's the right move. You know, the only guy he's squashed is, like, Dragunov. Yeah. It didn't even squash him in the match. It's just he ended up injuring him. But, yeah, I don't know. You would think we would have had a squash match from him by now, and we haven't gotten one.
Yeah, I mean, it also just doesn't really make sense for the heel to work from behind, you know, and that's what he had to do. You know, he had to make the comeback, where the babyface should be the one trying to make the comeback. I think it would have made more sense. Braun goes up 1-0, Sammy gets the second fall, and then, you know, it looks like he's battling for Braun to just crush the hopes there. But I think this was – the 2 out of 3 wasn't even needed to begin with. They could have just done – a one-on-one match. Honestly, I'm just glad that we're moving a different direction and Sammy's getting away from the Intercontinental title and hopefully Braun, you know, can have some good solid feuds.
Yeah, with that Sammy segment backstage with Jay, you think they're going to take the titles, the tag titles?
I would think so, yeah. But I don't know. I mean, we talked about the potential of them moving to SmackDown. Pierce was on the phone during the night. At one point he said something about making it official. Seemed like maybe trade, maybe something. So, you know, there's still the possibility that they're going to SmackDown, but since that they did say that they want to take the belts off the Judgment Day, yeah, I would assume that's what we're going to get.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all I have from that match.
Yeah, same.
All right, thank you for listening to this episode of the Tag Teamers Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to follow, like, comment, subscribe, leave a review wherever you're watching or listening. We will be back no later than Thursday with our recap of AEW Dynamite.